This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 218 for Friday, January 16th, 2015. And once again, I just want props for getting that year right. Thank you. Anybody? No, nobody cares. Feels like it was just yesterday. It was New Year's Day. Anyway, how's it going? Phil Nickinson. We are doing something. I don't know if we've attempted this before, or if we have, it's been a long time, and there's probably a reason for that. We are doing a podcast with five people, which is kind of a lot to do a podcast with, especially when it's this crew. So if we all start talking over each other, we don't normally do this. If it's your first time joining us, it might get a little messy, and let's just get to it, shall we? Russell Holly is back with us.
Yay!
Russell has survived, what is it now, 2 weeks of work with Android Central?
2 weeks.
How many times, be honest, how many times have you gone home crying? I mean, you work from home, but like, do you like change rooms and just curl up in the corner?
I just started waking up crying. It's easier that way. It's less effort.
Damn it, and I got the camera locked to myself there. Ah, so out of practice. Russell Holly, everybody. Jerry Hildenbrand, just shaking his head.
I didn't do it. Whatever it is, I didn't do it.
And you're plenty happy about that, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I like how your shirt matches your mic thing.
Yeah, I know. I bought that special at some fashion store that doesn't exist.
For those of you listening at home, both are red. There'll be a test on this later. Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone. Just about recovered from CES. Just about.
See how I skipped over Andrew, and he's like, wait a minute. I was supposed to be next.
You gotta keep on his toes.
Yeah. I mean, on my interface, I'm on the far side, so.
Oh, that's true. So nobody actually knows in what order I'm going to call on them?
Nope.
Cool. I like this. So, yeah, we are back from CES. I guess 4 out of 5 of us were in Vegas a week ago, or hopefully getting ready to leave Vegas a week ago. It was a long week. Wow. Jerry almost had the week off, actually.
Yep, I loved it. I wish you all would go somewhere else next week.
Well, all in due time. We've got like a month and a week before Mobile World Congress starts. In fact, let's just talk about that already. HTC today announced March 1st event. Woohoo!
Utopia in progress.
Yeah, I was trying to find my picture. Yeah, Utopia in progress, and then like underscore something.
Really setting a high bar for themselves there. It's
it's a cool picture of like a single star in a sea of stars shining down. I mean, what are we?
Almost like a galaxy.
Oh, wow! Gonna go there, huh? Really?
It's the first thing I thought when I saw it.
A single star in a galaxy of Join us to see what's next at, I can't say where it is. They asked us not to, you know, show where it is, but it's actually probably the biggest venue I think HTC has done in Barcelona.
It's somewhere pretty damn fancy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a place we've been before. I'm trying to think. There was the one 2 years ago. Was it 3 years ago for the original HTC One blank, you know, HTC One S, HTC One V, all those, that was on top of the old bullfighting ring, which is actually now a mall that took them forever to renovate, and that was probably the biggest. But this one, I think, is somewhere bigger. So interesting. I mean, that's pretty much all we know at this point, right, Alex?
Yeah, it will be a phone. Got to imagine. I mean, that's pretty much. This is pretty much the extent of what we know about it. There've been no leaks of any, you know, real substance just yet. You know, you can throw out specs all you want, and people have. You know, we know more or less it's going to be a Snapdragon 810. It's going to have a screen. It's going to have some internals. It'll be running Android. Great. You know, we still don't know what's going to be the big deal about this phone. Where is HTC going to take presumably the HTC One brand in 2015? It was all about the Geo camera, all about the smooth metal curves on the last model. So where are they going to take it in 2015? Are they going to address some of our concerns with, you know, the camera around the back not being so great, with the phone itself maybe being a bit slippery and a little bit chunky at the top and bottom? So we'll have to see. Looking forward to finding out in the next month or so.
I mean, I can say this, and if you follow like any HTC people on Twitter, I don't think I'm saying anything they haven't, but like they're always excited about new products. You should be, but they seem a little more excited than normal, or maybe I'm just excited that they're excited because we're in that time of year where I'm excited about new things too. But
I think it's a case as well as that they've almost turned a corner in the past couple of quarters. They've had, you know, they've kind of pivoted into these new devices like the ReCamera, which, you know, not a device without its issues. But they've had two profitable quarters. The M8's done reasonably well for them, and they're going now into a new year with a new product lineup and, you know, a lot of talk about different categories as well as just smartphones.
And in fact, we're going to see more of that this year. I had a meeting with them in Vegas, and they said, look, we're going to get into the home space. We're going to get into the entertainment space somehow, and didn't give any details, and I honestly have no idea what they're going to do in the home space. Like, are they going to make the world's best designed towel racks or something? I don't know.
I would love to see an HTC towel rack.
HTC tea? I don't know.
You know?
Desire tea.
I just want something from any of the big three Android manufacturers that lives up to the hype.
Wait a minute, you say big three. What is your big three, Jerry?
Samsung, HTC, LG.
Okay. I would disagree.
The shows get bigger and bigger. They get excited more and more each and every year. But it just seems like when the phone is finally available for sale, it has been so overhyped, and we get it, and while it's a nice product, it's still just an Android smartphone. It's not, you know, it's not a savior of people or anything like they hype it up to be.
The start of Utopia.
But hang on, because we're talking about in our little bubble here, right? So there's what's important to us as fans of this stuff and nerds. And then I think there's the phone's life cycle from an actual retail standpoint, because we see it, right? Like, we can see it in traffic on the site, you know, phones that are doing well 6-8 months after we, you know, kind of quit caring about them because we had to move on to the next thing.
I don't mean that they need to make the phones better. I think they're doing that at a good pace. They're making improvements better than they have to, and more timely than they have to. I just wonder, maybe they should cut back on the hype a little bit. I don't know. I've been jaded since the Samsung Dancing Girl lipstick review nonsense a few years back. Just made me think that all these companies are just, they're at the edge of going too far. Maybe they haven't went too far yet, but they're right at the edge. And I don't know. I just thought this was a good time to say that. Hate me if you want. I don't care.
I'm going to go on a limb here, Jerry, and say you're just a jaded old man.
That's entirely possible. But
My perspective is it's been a long time since we've had really an exciting phone that we've not really known an awful lot about. And I think now we're going into a new cycle of phones without too many leaks being out there besides the obvious spec stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, I think you compare that to last year where the M8 was leaking all over the place. And it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, the expectation is different this year compared to last year. When we eventually do see this thing.
Well, we no longer have to create the hype like we used to have to several years ago. Now they create the hype themselves, and it goes viral. And it just seems like it's a little too overhyped.
It's so mainstream now. Yeah, like they used to have to use the vlogs and the fan sites to really create that hype. You know, I would use Crackberry as a prime example for that, right? Like, mm-hmm. Blackberry didn't have to spend money. They got Crackberry to do it. Yep. They got Kevin to do it for him, and he was really good at it and still is. But yeah, it's a very different animal now. Let's think back, because Jerry's throwing out some interesting things there. I was trying to think of the craziest thing I have seen at a launch event. But just think about that for a couple of minutes. I mean, it's easy to go to like the GS4 event at Madison Square Garden at Radio City Music Hall, that was it, some place in New York with a name, and like it was a huge elaborate production, but to me it wasn't any different than, you know, Broadway. It was kind of the same thing they did when they announced the Galaxy S with this big theatrical thing, only it was really good this time, or bad depending on how you looked at it, but the production value is better is what I mean. But like I didn't think it was particularly crazy. I mean, probably the weirdest thing I've seen was, you know, I don't think any of you guys was with me. In San Diego, LG rented out like this really cool bar space at a hotel, and I forget the hotel, for the U.S. launch, I think, of the GS2? Or maybe the original Optimus G. I forget which one. Might have been the original Optimus G. It was a while ago. And they had these women in like bikini tops and mermaid tails just like chilling in the pool. I've got a great picture of it somewhere, and it made for a really cool picture. But like for me, that's one of the weirdest things, and not like bad weird, just like, okay.
I don't know, I would have to say David Blaine making a woman in a cube of water disappear
was at
probably
that.
The craziest thing I've ever seen.
That was the one I was at?
Yes, you were there. I had to watch on the web, thankfully, because I could watch with a martini in my hand and you couldn't.
I'd tell you, that was another one of those Sprint events where Sprint threatens to get us arrested. And I think it's been like two or three of those, because like the first one was my very first event for the Evo, for the original Evo, and they showed Prince of Persia like 2 months before it came out. And they're like, you can't bring cameras in here. Well, we're journalists with cameras to take pictures.
You know,
here.
I'm going to have to change, because that was the most over-the-top one. They had Led Zeppelin blaring as loud as humanly possible, fog and steam coming up, and here comes Dan Hesse with his arms in the air. Out of the steam and fog. That was just a shining moment.
See, you remember more about this than I do.
Well, that I don't know if that impressed me or made me sad. One of the two, but it just stuck in my head.
What about you, Andrew?
I was thinking back to, I'm trying to think what year it was that Sony had a crazy press conference at CES with Zool and all those dancing, the crazy choreographed dancing on stage. I don't think it had anything to do with phones at all, actually. I think the phones were released before that. But it was just like very Sony, where they're just going to trot out a bunch of weird Japanese dancers to just flail around on the stage, and everybody had no idea what was going on, but you continue to live blog anyways. That pretty much describes Sony in a nutshell.
I think I've been to a few of those. What about you, Alex?
So I'm thinking, for me, it's probably a toss-up between the GS3 that we went to, that the first, the first time in London. Either that or the winter before that, HTC, you know, the height of HTC's, you know, market share and, you know, profit share, I guess, in the industry, when they launched the Sensation XL, and it was kind of, the phone itself wasn't a big deal, but HTC put on a huge show because it was the first phone with Beats. So they had, you know, loads of celebrities there. They had, they had will.i.am, they had, you know, a private VIP area. They took out one of the biggest venues in London for this thing. And I think definitely the biggest HTC event I've been to, and, you know, the most, probably the most expensive event that I've been to as well.
Russell?
The Vienna Boys Choir still freaks me out.
Oh, that's right. Were you at that one?
I was.
That was the original?
G2?
Yeah, it was the G2. That was the G2, yeah, because it had all the Vienna Boys Choir ringtones and... And that was at Jazz at Lincoln Center, I think.
Yep.
In New York. Really cool venues. First time I'd been there. And, yeah. Like, I can enjoy me some Vienna Boys Choir.
Okay.
I don't want them on my phone.
I think we've established that they might have gone over the top.
And you'll notice they haven't used them since.
Well, so, but those events, Jerry, are very much us and the hardcore nerds that follow the actual announcements themselves. And we are jaded, grumpy old men or grumpy old men at heart. And so we need something to, you know, keep us interested. Whereas, you know, the average person's not seeing, you know, replays of the Galaxy S4 announcement a week later. They don't care about that part. They care about the marketing stream afterwards.
It really, I think it has a lot less to do with us than we like to think. Like, we like to think we're all important because we're there and we get invited and you know, we're some of the first people, you know, in the relative public to see this stuff. And it's kind of not, I mean, that's part of it, but it's interesting when you particularly talk to the PR and marketing guys behind this. It's like, yes, you guys are important to get the conversation started, but there's this whole other level of public mindshare with this stuff. And that is, you know, they're trying to get you got to get USA Today to write about it, and then Wall Street Journal and these mainstream pubs. And then you see the secondary push where, like, phones show up on Oprah and Ellen, and you get this other push in that direction. And it's just, it's so different than what we do. As we all just let that one die on the vine.
It's not what we do. What am I supposed to
say? It's not what we do. We're just coming to terms with how unimportant we are.
Seriously. Way to knock us down a couple pegs there, Phil.
I hate to break that one to you there, Alex, but yeah, no, it's interesting stuff. So that's HTC. What's coming up at MWC? We don't have any, I mean, we're still a month and a half away from it, but we don't have any other MWC kind of teasers. Usually Sony does some stuff. Samsung might well do the GS whatever this year again.
It's possible. I think with the way the GS5 went last year, it's not unlikely that they would want to refresh that sooner rather than later. MWC would be an obvious place to do that, but beyond that, who knows? We'll have to see.
Asus usually does. I mean, it's a show. It's a big show. So we're going to have a lot. We got a month and a half till it happens. So
I'll call it Samsung tablets at MWC instead of Germany this year. I just have a feeling.
Because, you know, it wouldn't be Samsung without lots of tablet releases.
Well, I don't see Samsung sharing with anyone to release their new phone. They don't have to. I see them doing an event 3 weeks afterwards saying, us.
I see them doing something just to screw with HTC, too. Yeah.
I mean, they did their own event for, I mean, a completely separate event for the Tab S in the 10.5 and 8.4 were just in New York standalone. Yep. And that was, I mean, they had the Madison Square Garden Theater for that one, you know, and those are just for two tablets. So I definitely wouldn't, you know, I would think that maybe they would do something just to mess with HTC, but, you know, they're on their own schedule if they want to be.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will do some Q&A. And then we'll talk about something else just as soon as I figure out what it is. There it is. I found it. We'll be right back. Then some Q&A. The holidays are over, and now's the time to start fresh and start making smarter decisions. And overpaying for your razor blades is a bad habit that you should have left behind. It's time to kickstart your new year and challenge yourself to learn something new with a free 10-day trial to Lynda.com. Lynda is used by millions of people around the world, including us here at Android Central. It has more than 3,000 courses on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business, as well as software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. All of Lynda's courses are taught by experts, and new courses are added to the site every week. Now, maybe you want to set some new financial goals, or find a better balance between life and work, and yes, there should be one. Or maybe you want to find a new hobby, or ask your boss for a raise, or find a new job in 2015. Lynda is that diverse, and there really is something for everyone. For a low monthly fee, you get unlimited access to every course on Lynda.com. You can do it on an Android tablet, or on a phone, or even on an iOS device. And new courses are being added all the time. Some of the videos we recommend checking out include Samsung Galaxy Note tips and tricks, simple Android development tools, Android SDK essential tools, and be sure to check out the Code Clinic. It's an innovative series each month in which Lynda.com issues a code challenge and authors share their solutions using a variety of programming languages. As for me, I've been hanging out with some quality Adobe Audition videos lately while I try to get better and faster at editing this podcast. So do something good for yourself in 2015 and sign up for a free 10-day trial. Just go to lynda.com/androidcentral. Go on, we challenge you to learn something new this year.
Phil said I had to be quiet.
I said nothing! Now you can talk. Now you may speak. No, you're not gonna, are you?
I'm sure I'll find something to say.
Fine. All right, let's go through some Q&A, as I promised we would do. Davin wants to know, will there be a Nexus 5 refresh or another Nexus tablet released in 2015? Russell, yes. What do you think?
I'm sure that Google will release something this year, and it will be either a phone or a tablet or both. The Nexus 5...
You heard it here first, folks.
The Nexus 5 is probably not going to get a refresh. It'll be a Nexus phone, but I'm sure that Google's not going to go back to that number.
I think, are we going to see another Nexus phone possibly this year that's not a giant slab like this thing, probably. I mean, Google, you can't keep getting bigger once you're at a 6-inch screen. I mean, you can, but it'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah, because we've never said that before.
I was about to say, did that get said about 5-inch screens?
You know how Google likes to mess around with screen sizes, and it's not just in the upward direction. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw eventually, maybe around the middle of the year, possibly something, if not a Nexus 5 refresh, then certainly something that is a Nexus phone that isn't as giant as the Nexus 6. There's certainly a market for that, and Google is all about shipping these things out to carriers now. It's not just for developers and nerds anymore. If you are putting this on all the four major US carriers, then you're serious about selling to regular consumers. And if you're doing that, you've got to have a smaller phone as well as a bigger one.
I mean, it depends what you mean by Nexus 5 refresh. I don't think there's any chance that they continue to take the Nexus 5 parts that they have sitting in a bin and put new internals in it. No. I mean, at this point, it's more expensive to do that than to design something new with new internals. I mean, at some point, the economies of scale of, you know, getting these old chips and old things don't make a whole lot of sense. So a new smaller phone, sure, but you know, they might call it the Nexus 5 2015. Who knows? But it don't expect it to look look the same and be the same device with new internals.
Yeah. Agree.
Well, both new tablet and a new phone.
Yeah.
We have to. They won't be able to sell something that's a year old at the scale they want to try to sell things at. Like Andrew said, they're trying to go mainstream, and you can't offer a product that has last year's date on it. Even if they don't change a damn thing except the model number, we'll see something new.
64-bit phone has to happen, right?
Well, that's a whole other thing I can't talk too much about right now.
Ooh, okay, fine.
Now that is what we call a tease.
No. Hey, everybody out there that listens to a show like this knows that it has to come. So until I have any particulars that I'm sure enough to talk about, we all know something's coming.
You know, I just go back and think about the Nexus 7 2013 launch, which was, hey, we're going to announce some stuff in July randomly, and it ended up being the Nexus 7 2013 and a new version of Jelly Bean, and you know, we didn't get the phone until October of that year. So, you know, they do stuff like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, a simultaneously launch at the same exact time of the year.
Devin has another one. What do you think about the recent reports? And you know how I feel about reports. Of a leaner TouchWiz on the Galaxy S6. Did the reported come to Jesus meeting between Google and Samsung change Samsung's attitude about overlays, or was it the revenue dip? I don't think it's any of that, actually.
A new version of phone to come with a new version of software. New 10.
I'm getting tired every year about hearing how Samsung changed their mind. Samsung doesn't have to change their mind when they're... And we can talk about dipped revenue, but they still made, what, $3 billion instead of $7?
Yeah.
You don't have to change your mind when you're making $3 billion.
And you don't change your mind in, you know, a knee-jerk fashion like that. That's a good way to do bad business.
And, you know, I hear all these stories about this meeting, but all the things that supposedly came out of this meeting never happened. So yeah. I'm curious what... You know, what this meeting really was.
Well, and tell me what toned down TouchWiz means. Does that mean a different design than what previously? I mean, would that not happen anyway?
I mean, just look at the devices released in the second half of 2014 compared to the first half from Samsung. They already have changes, even within the line. So it's not like Samsung software has looked the exact same for 3 years. I mean, you set down a Galaxy S2 next to a Note 4, the software looks different. I mean, they're always changing things. I think that it's crazy to think that they're just going to scrap the whole thing, but they're always changing.
And almost by definition, you know, progress for Samsung on the software side has to mean, you know, being toned down. I mean, you can't exactly tone TouchWiz up any more than it already is, right?
Not everything's a conspiracy. It's just not. So, that's what we think of that. Apparently, we have opinions.
Well, and I'd be more than happy for somebody to show me why my opinion is wrong so I can, you know, continue to think on this. But I really just don't see any evidence that there is any change necessary.
Let's put it like this. Say next week, and I'm going to click back over to Jerry here so we can all look at Jerry. Jerry's like, oh, crap. Say Jerry wears a different shirt next week. Did Jerry tone down, or did he just wear a different shirt?
Oh, I've got this Magnum PI Hawaiian.
Russell, you got anything else on that?
I think that, you know, we did see Samsung. I think when people say things like tone down, they're asking if it's going to look more like the Nexus experience, where we've got more of the Google stuff going in front. And I don't think that's going to happen because, you know, first of all, Samsung has a brand to maintain. And second of all, you know, people are buying these phones. They clearly are okay with what Samsung is doing right now. I mean, there's a pretty vocal minority who really wants Samsung hardware with, you know, Google's experience on top. And in a way, I'm one of them. But, I mean, it has not stopped them from making money. So.
But Nexus is better.
Well, and no matter what anybody says, I don't think a Note 4 is going to sell any better than it already is if it just had plain Android on it. I just don't think that that's the case.
That would be called the Nexus 6.
Well.
And it's never going to compare in sales to the Note 4.
Yeah.
Nope. Cedric wants to know, how important do you guys think IR blasters are in smartphones for TV remote control purposes, and will they ever become a standard in phones and tablets going forward?
Nope.
I mean, they were kind of standard for the past year, right? Past 2 years. Or something.
Standard as in?
People kept putting them in there, and I kept not using them.
Well, IR blaster it's a dead technology that just refuses to die. Move everything to IP-based, and then, yes, it should be on every phone. I don't see all the manufacturers spending their time and money to put an IR receiver transmitter on the back of a phone and then writing software to control it. That's a lot of outlay for very little return.
I just find the experience of trying to use my phone for remote control horrible, because remotes are this, here, I've got one here. I mean, they're this tactile experience where I don't have to look. I can just pick it up and I know, all right, there's the center button. There's the D-pad, and but, I don't have – phone, you have to look at it. You have to – it just doesn't work.
But take it a step further and go to HTC's TV app, where it's also a TiVo, and this is what you like to watch, and here's some suggestions. And one tap, you can either record it or go sit down, and it's ready, and it plays. I think that's where it's well worth exploring how to control your entertainment with your smartphone.
I mean, it's cool, but it's – still, that only is the utopian vision if you're one person with one TV and one phone,
yes,
which nobody really is usually, unless, you know, you have your own TV that you're, you know, in your office or your den or whatever that you want to control. In the end, you're still going to have to hand that remote to somebody else, you know, to your kid or your spouse or whatever, and the physical remote's just better for that.
I have had nerd friends of mine for a decade now telling me that IP base is going to be the future. And while I agree with them, that future is really far away if it has been a decade before none of that has happened yet. You know, TVs are still being released. We just saw 8K televisions announced at CES, and they still have good old-fashioned infrared remotes controlling them. So, you know, it's not something that's going away. It would be cool to see you know, as many manufacturers as possible put them in there, because people do use them. Even people who don't use their smartphone for a ton of things do use them. But I would way rather see, as an address to address what Phil said, you know, some kind of voice interaction, you know, where my phone is sitting on, you know, the coffee table or whatever, and in the same way that I talk to my Xbox right now, you know, tell it to change channels and stuff. Because that's, I mean, the biggest reason I don't use my phone as a IR remote right now is that I can yell at my Xbox and it does whatever I want.
Okay, Google, turn on my TV.
Right.
And I think from the phone side, it's, you know, a lot of high-end phones have had them for the past couple of years. That's got to be just because the hardware is relatively cheap to put in there. It is just an LED that blinks out the front of the phone. It's not a particularly big expense in the context of a new high-end phone. And once you've done that, once you've got the software there to control it, which again is relatively simple, the tricky part is, you know, TV guide listings and that kind of thing. But once you've taken that step, it's relatively easy to keep that there, and you just keep refreshing the software as and when. The hardware is just an LED anyway, so you might as well keep it around.
Somewhere there's just this giant bucket of infrared stuff that we have to finish using up. And
well, I mean, these are people who say that removing the notification LED is a cost-cutting measure. So there's you know what, and the biggest thing, we don't know. We don't know what the people who make the financial decisions at these companies think when they're squirreled away in their bunker counting all the money.
True. All right, let's launch into this. One more question, and then we'll let Alex and Jerry and Russell rant about this, because it's not that I don't care, but they're smarter than me. And
oh, good. I don't have to rant either.
No, you don't. Kick back and let the smart guys do it. Ryan Saldana asks, read the WebView bug/exploit on Jelly Bean. And earlier, it feels like Google's stance is not to throw their OEM partners under the bus. AOSP canon is patched. However, partners would still need to update their devices. Thoughts? And that's yes. Kind of backwards in the way he said it, but I think he's got it right, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I think
let's back up and explain what we're talking about here, Alex.
Okay, so there was a report that came out this week about supposedly some security researchers came up with some bugs, some exploits in WebView in Android 4.3. WebView is the thing that basically shows web pages within apps. So if you're viewing an app that has a certain web component to it, like the AC app uses it to display stories, then chances are you're looking at a web view. The kind of exception to that rule is Chrome, because it has its own engine built in. And the response from Google was that they don't generally patch stuff or, you know, develop patches themselves for web view in 4.3 or below. But they would tell OEMs about it. And if there was a patch submitted with it, then they would potentially include that as well. And the response was, the mainstream response, I guess, was that Google was abandoning, throwing 60% of Android users under the bus. They were refusing to patch this, and kind of this maybe a little bit lopsided view from people who don't really understand the way Android works and the way updating Android works.
Go
ahead.
My take on it is, yeah, we knew this 13 months ago when they abandoned it and said it was depreciated and would no longer be updated. People have been making money off of that free code for 13 months. Had the responsibility to update it on their products and didn't. I don't think you should throw anybody under the bus. Logistically, it's a nightmare for Samsung to upgrade all their phones. We want them to do it. You want them to do it. But it is a nightmare that I don't think any of us fully understand. But if you have to pick and point a finger at somebody, you point it at the people who are selling phones using technology that they knew would no longer get patched. And I hate to do that. I don't think you should point the finger at anybody. This is a touchy subject. I mean, it needs patched. It needs patched because it's a real exploit. But unless Samsung, HTC, and the rest just say Jelly Bean for everybody or Kit Kat for everybody, there's no way it's ever going to get patched.
And I think
let me back up one more time. I thought Jerry did a good job of explaining to us kind of internally yet again and just reminding us, especially when you look at this from an editorial standpoint and the way people write about it, it's not Android did this. It's not this has to be fixed in Android. This has to, there's the base code, but when you get down to it, it ends up with Samsung has to fix this in Samsung's Android. Correct. HTC has to fix this in HTC's Android.
What I was going to say is that whatever Google does, you're still reliant on manufacturers and carriers. Even if Google did develop a patch themselves, it's not magically going to get onto your Samsung phone or HTC phone.
And that's,
Google is still going to notify OEMs of this, and OEMs, if they care, are still going to patch it. But that would be the case regardless of whatever action Google took. And obviously Google's decided it's 18 months down the line since 4.3. We've got this new stuff now in WebView in 4.4 and now 5.0, so it is easier to update. So we're not going to dedicate engineering hours to updating it in, 4 through 4.3. But we are going to notify manufacturers, so if they care, they can update it themselves.
And that's the biggest point. If Google fixed it right now while we were talking about it, it would make no difference because you...
Exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, who am I supposed to be mad at? Because everyone...
You can't.
Like, you're supposed to pick a side.
The media, Phil. You'd be mad at the media.
Yeah, I mean, am I supposed to bash Google for not patching something? Or, I mean, at what point are you obligated to continue to update something that you already fixed and updated through an entire OS version? Like, I mean, that's like saying you need to go back and fix something in XP at this point.
Well, it kind of isn't. I mean, the upgrade cycle for Windows is totally different to the upgrade cycle for Android.
Sure.
You know, it's up to the OEM if they care to upgrade from 4.3 to 4.4. That is the patch for this issue as far as Google is concerned.
And I thought you did an excellent job of condensing that into a tweet. I mean, just, bam, there it is.
Nobody is raising a fuss because the Nexus S running Gingerbread 2.3.6 that you can still buy on eBay new in the box, even though it's not, you know, officially for sale, out of the box has a huge random number generator security hole that instead of patching, Google just released a new version of the operating system that fixed it. This is exactly the same. The Nexus S may be a poor example because it was easy for Google to upgrade, while the Galaxy S4 or S3 is not quite as easy for Samsung to upgrade. But it's the same concept. It's something that needed fixed, and the fix is incorporated into an all-new version that here is everything provided for you to get it on your device.
And while we're talking about fixes being in whole new versions of the OS, we should mention that the way WebView has changed in Lollipop means that you're not going to have to wait to get this, you know, for a whole new OS version to patch something in WebView. Right. A couple of things here. So it's actually broken out into its own app now, so Google could, if they wanted to, just update it through the Play Store. The other fact is that, you know, it's just... Well, forget what the second fact is. I'll leave it to you, Jerry. There's something else.
That's another important thing that nobody's talking about. This could be part of... I don't want to say it could be part of Google Play Services, but it could be handled that way. Hmm. If there is a vulnerability in what Google is using now in Blink to render it, Google can patch that and send it out to every phone because it's independent of the Android framework itself. Whereas it didn't used to be, and I'm pretty confident that was a major reason that they changed the way it's done to get it out of the core. Yeah, it's something they can control.
And it's to do with, you could say the nature of WebView is something that's built into the OS that is always facing the web, you know, that is in it, you know, essentially a rendering engine, right? Yeah. That in itself means that maybe Google should have thought earlier about how they were going to deal with this, about how it might take years for this thing to be patched when, you know, vulnerabilities are coming out all the time. But, you know, they finally are getting around to it now in the same way that they're doing security stuff through Google Play Services. And it's taken time, and it's not going to be easy for people who are not on Lollipop yet, which is the vast majority of Android users. But at least, you know, it's Google are moving things in the right direction, even though it's just because of the nature of Android. It's going to take time for most of the user base to see that.
Okay, outside of the theoretical issues of all these bugs and exploits and whatever, if I'm on an older device, was it 4.3 or before 4.3, what can I do? What should I do?
First thing is use Chrome, not whatever bundled browser comes with your phone, like HTC Internet, the Samsung browser, whatever. Chrome has its own rendering engine built in, whereas those manufacturer browsers generally use WebView. So switch to Chrome or Firefox or whatever, something that has its own, you know, rendering engine built in. Beyond that, it's really just a case of being sensible about what you install. You know, installing apps that aren't going to, you know, send you to dodgy websites over a WebView. There are other precautions you can take. Like if you use Facebook, there is a browser built into that, but you can also disable that and have it just send links to Chrome instead.
And a lot of apps have internal browsers, RSS readers, social network kind of apps, Twitter clients. You know, those all have internal browsers, and you'll see it usually be a setting, you know, open link in external browser, internal browser, and you can get away from this by having it open in Chrome or Firefox or whatever you use.
Cool.
It's also worth pointing out that it's not easy for a problem like this to happen again in Android.
Exactly,
lot of places, because this goes beyond just the browser. A lot of things in the way Google has shifted to things like Play Services and the way that they have broken out a lot of their apps into separate apps that can be updated through the Google Play Store, it would have to be pretty serious and really, really specific for an issue like this to happen on the Android platform again beyond this point. I think that that's significant. The way that Google has shifted to prevent this kind of thing in the future is a really positive thing.
Now, one last thing I want to say is for everybody to think about out there, would you be happier if Google said, okay, Samsung, you have 30 days to upgrade every Galaxy S5 to Jelly Bean, or we're going to take our services off your phone?
Because that's like Tizen.
That's Google's only alternative, is to say, hey, you either release it current with what we want you to have on there, or you don't get to use our apps.
And that's not really a realistic way of
doing things. No, you can't. But there is no other – there's no way for Google to stop companies from using whatever version of Android makes the most monetary sense for them.
Well, I mean, Google can control what is shipped on a phone, what a new phone comes with, but they can't control, you know, what happens in terms of updates later on. They can't force anyone to update any phone beyond the version that it comes with. And you know, you can talk about the Update Alliance or anything else like that, but, you know, Google basically doesn't, they have no, they don't really have anything to coerce the manufacturers into doing that.
Right, that's what I meant. I didn't mean out of the box brand new. I meant when an update comes out, Google's only recourse would be to say, hey, you either update or we're disabling our services on your platform. And they can't do that.
I want to take one more break, and then I got an interesting question about Android TV coming up next that I want us to talk about, and I want to start thinking about some of what we saw at CES with Android Auto, because I've been thinking a lot more about that this week, for better or for worse. Can't decide yet. Not entirely sure. Scared, hold me. We'll be right back. The holidays are over, and now's the time to start fresh and start making smarter decisions. And overpaying for your razor blades is a bad habit that you should have left behind long ago. So it's time to make the smart switch to Harry's. Harry's has high-quality German-engineered blades that are crafted for sharpness and precision. Plus, they're half the price of the big-name drugstore brands. Now, still need more? You don't even have to leave the house. Harry's has free shipping right to your door. How easy is that? I've been using Harry's for a while now, and it really is that simple. Just open a package, pull out the razor and shave cream, and don't let my beautiful beard fool you. There's still some daily maintenance that I have to do every day. Harry's makes it quick and easy, and for a fraction of the cost of what I was paying before. The chrome handle of the razor looks great, my face looks great, and I'm even told it feels great. Why would I ever go back to anything else ever again? And for just $15, you can get on the starter pack. That includes the razor, three blades, and your choice of Harry's shave cream, and that's what I use, or the foaming shave gel. And as an added bonus, you can get $5 off your first purchase when you use code AC at checkout. That's an entire month worth of shaving for just $10. Beat that. All you have to do is go to harrys.com now and use code AC with your first purchase. That's HARRYS.com. Use coupon code AC. Start shaving smarter today.
Bill, did you realize that your shirt also matches your mic thing?
Yeah, this is almost like kind of a purple. Just can't.
It comes across as black.
Yeah. How about that?
When you ordered it, it was royal purple. Tell the truth.
I think it was a Christmas present, actually. I like it's comfy. It's warm. It's almost hot in here now. It's kind of cold today.
It looked good on you. That's the important part.
How does it make the beard look? That's the question.
No play for Mr. Gray. You need to visit a little bit of that Just for Men.
Nah. All right, I guess that means we're back. So Android TV.
We'll cut that out.
I'm going to mispronounce your name. Is it? I want to say Rade? Rod? I'm sorry, I don't remember. Will Android TV ever support antenna TV and DVR functions? There's an interesting question.
I hope not.
Why not?
That puts them at the mercy of content providers again, and we know
how that makes it Google TV again.
But it's over the air.
I want them to do it, but the DVR part is not over the air. I could see. Then you're starting get into the thing where now it's running on boxes that are, you know, TV tuners and accept cable cards, and they just get really. There's a lot more regulation. I should say cruft and industry cruft that comes along with supporting these legacy kind of things rather than just being internet TV that just happens to run on a little box that plugs into your TV.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the TiVo guys have gotten pretty far away. Like, the TiVo guys are the reason that we have DVRs as we have them today. Mm-hmm. And I think that that kind of thing, you know, that
it took TiVo a long time.
It did take them a long time, but the folks at Google have that headway already made for them.
But the potential for abuse on TiVo is vastly different than the potential for abuse on any device that runs Android.
I disagree as someone who abuses my TiVo on a pretty regular basis.
But look at how many people can abuse a TiVo. You and I can, but can your neighbor?
Yeah, I mean, there's really easy step-by-step tutorials online. I mean, and there are apps that make it really simple. It's pretty plug-and-play nowadays.
On Android, it's as easy as changing a file name.
It used to be, well, on TiVo, it's not all that different from changing a file name. At least not anymore.
By the way, I met with TiVo last week.
They're nice people.
They are nice people. I don't actually have TiVo, so it was kind of a fun introduction for me. But they've got some good stuff coming up this spring for their Android app. So if you're looking for more there, you're absolutely going to get more. And it's kind of I kind of looked at them like they showed it to me, and I was like, this is what Google tried to do with Google TV. Why? How come you can do it and they can't? And it just comes down to the...
Because TiVo has a long-standing history of looking at the industry and going...
Pfft. Yeah, exactly. But it's very much what we want. It's like one place to get all your content, and it just pulls in from everywhere like God intended it to.
Yep.
So look forward to that if you're TiVo
subscriber. But for some reason, Google couldn't get away with it.
Exactly. And that's, you know... It's
so that's why I don't want them to try that again, because they're likely to fail again.
Yes,
well, even if Google was trying to do it over the web. They were trying to do it through the web and through the existing setups that were already there, and that broke a bunch of different rules that some of those people had in place for how that content got handled. And it was really like the language for like a Hulu, for example. The way that Hulu has access to play their videos is really oddly specific, and Google TV broke those rules accidentally. And so that when that loophole got set for Hulu in particular, a lot of the other content providers followed suit because it was easy. What we're looking at with TiVo and the way it has been forever on TiVo when it comes to third-party content, they're apps. It's the same stuff that we see on Roku and now on Android TV, and that's why it's easier for TiVo to do it now.
Fair enough.
I just would rather see, let's use TiVo as an example, Android TV communicate with TiVo.
Yeah.
And you be able to leave the TiVo turned on, but put the TiVo remote over on the shelf and never have to touch it and do everything right through the lean back interface.
Yep. Like I was saying earlier, my TiVo runs through my Xbox because I can shout at my television.
Exactly.
It's everything.
Exactly. You know, PlayStation turn on. That's how everything needs to work.
Yep.
But I don't know if we'll ever get there.
Finally, I want to talk Yodafone 2 a little bit, because Russell still has it. I'm still a little jealous, because I just handed it over and said, go for it, because I had a lot of stuff to do when we got home. How are you? Are you liking it? Are you having fun?
I am surprisingly happy with it. I do a ton of reading on my phone, and the idea of having an e-ink panel was kind of exciting for that reason. But then I figured out that the back of this thing really has just a ton of features to it. As far as quick glance, in very much the same way that I use the Moto X for notifications and stuff like that, where I just kind of glance down without having to pick my phone up. I get a lot of that same experience only with what is basically an HD panel on the back instead of the few lines that you get from the Moto X. So it's been really cool so far, and it works just amazingly in direct sunlight. Like, you know, it's just, you know, when I'm walking down the street or something like that, it's cool because I can access the entire the entire operating system. I can even use the Android home screen from the back of this thing if I choose to.
Well, it's real e-ink. It's not some hybrid technology, right? It's the same as a Paperwhite.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically using the same tech as a Kindle. And if I go into it, I can get the entire Android platform. I can grab my launcher. I can grab the camera. It is amusing that I can use the e-ink panel to take selfies. It's the entire system. The only thing that this screen doesn't do is if I try to fire up like something silly like Google Play Movies, the audio will play but the video won't because the refresh rate is not acceptable. But
which makes sense. Hey, by the way, I'm not sure if anyone's actually seeing any of what you were just showing them, because apparently the camera's locked on Andrew because Hangouts crashed on me a minute ago, and when I came back, it's locked on Andrew. So I don't know what to tell you.
Andrew, cool. Pretend you're holding a Yoda.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew, so, be an eating panel for a minute.
Right here,
Andrew, move your mouth while the rest of us are talking.
And look at how great the viewing angle
is. The resolution is amazing.
But no, I've used an e-ink e-reader, so I know how awesome the back panel on that thing can be for a lot of stuff, and that's cool.
It works surprisingly well.
So you actually find yourself, you know, you think when you take it out of your pocket or you pick it up off the table, there are some times where you know that all you need is the e-ink side and you just pick it up upside down, I guess, for lack of a better term, upside down and just go straight into it. Or do you use the front side and then every once in a while flip it back?
It immediately depends on what I'm doing. Like, if I'm listening to music or something like that, then the e-ink panel, because of the way they use four really big widget panels on the back is basically what they are. And like the music panel and the e-reader panel, they are full screen apps, basically. They're full screen widgets like this. And so if I'm listening to music, through the stereo system in my house, then I will pull it out of my pocket, you know, specifically so that the e-ink part is on the back, because, you know, I don't have to worry about waking up the screen. It's less button pushes overall to go in and change that. And the same goes for notifications that play with the panel well. And that's where things get a little messy, because, like, there's no Hangouts widget. So if I, you know, if we're talking in Hangouts or something like that, then it becomes kind of clumsy, because I can pick it up and see that there's a notification, but then the first thing it says is, you know, flip over your phone to the color side so that you can see.
That's understandable, though.
And it's only, you know, it's only a handful of things. A lot of the big stuff it grabs for me, like text messages, email, Twitter, things like that it grabs, and there are widgets on the different Yoda panels for it. But like Hangouts and I have one or two other things that I use on a pretty frequent basis, like Slack. There's no widget for that, so the panel has to defer to the color screen, which is, you know, it's understandable. It can't be everything, but it's pretty close.
And at least it's smart enough to tell you, like, we can't, you know, this can't display it on this side. Flip it over rather than trying and trying to display everything and being super, super janky.
Right, it's better to tell you I can't do this than to do it and have it suck.
Yeah, and if you are the kind of person who decides that they're just gonna, you know, whatever, I'll do what I want, then you can just access the full Android operating system and go and pull up Hangouts and send a message in Hangouts. And typing on a keyboard on an e-ink screen that has a slow refresh rate is weird, but you can do it. It doesn't stop you.
I have to admit, when you said that, I pictured Andrew holding that phone. Bleep you, I'll do what I want.
That's right. I'm not going to flip this screen over. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah, seriously. Don't tell me which side of my phone to hold.
A couple more questions, then we'll get out of here. Andrew, see if you can move your mouth in time with what I'm saying, just in case people are only seeing you. Kevin asks, so Yodafone 2 T-Bumble exclusive, or might we see it over on AT&T? If you remember, one of the Yodafone VPs on stage with us at CES Live said it's coming to US Carrier, one of the big four. T-Mobile has obviously emerged as a rumored entry for that. Possible? I don't know. I've heard things back and forth on why it might or might not happen, so we'll just have to see. I'm excited for it. It's a weird phone, right? Because, like, we're excited for it. It's pretty cool. But it's going to be so small in the big, giant phones.
Question. And it is worth pointing out that, like, the color part of this thing is pretty close to, like, a Nexus.
Yeah.
I mean, the software is pretty much pure Android. The, you know, Google Camera is the stock. The Chrome is the browser. It's Nexus. It's a Nexus, you know, 5 with a Kindle strapped to the back, which is awesome.
Jerry had a question.
The radio's on it. Can it be used, you know, anywhere in North America and Canada, or is it going to be the device you have? Is it strictly Europe only, and we just don't know? Or
no, it plays well with my AT&T bands.
So there you go.
I put my AT&T SIM in, and it worked pretty well.
No matter who sells it, both of these companies have financing options. You can basically use it wherever you want.
Yeah. Gerardo wants to know, not Android related, but I'm starting to grow my beard out, and I wanted your opinions. Do you guys use beard oil or beard balm, or go natural?
May I?
Go ahead.
If you're going to let your beard grow out, you know, whether you trim the ends or not.
Andrew, quick, pretend you have a beard.
terrible day that I shaved like this morning, so it's not gonna work. The visualization right there is not very good.
I use the same conditioner I use in my hair on my beard. Some people tell you not to do that, but I do.
I have beard butter and beard oil.
And I use whiskey, ink, and lace, the stuff from those guys, because they come in flavors like or scents like coffee and whiskey and things like that, and it makes me happy.
The Remix Tablet asks Kevin, how soon before we hear about lawsuits and cease and desist orders from Microsoft because of the design looking so close to the Surface?
It's pretty darn close. They didn't seem to have a problem with the idea that they were going to bring it to Western markets. They're selling it in China right now. I honestly don't think that Microsoft is going to pitch that big of a fit, just because it's not a device that's going to sell in any meaningful numbers, I don't think. So it's probably not worth Microsoft's time to bother with it. That's pretty much all I could say about that.
If it happens, I hope Mozilla sues them for putting tabs in Internet Explorer.
I think Microsoft suing them would bring more attention to this device than it's going to get on its own.
Yeah.
Bingo.
It's the Streisand effect. Look it up, kids.
Although, you know, that hasn't stopped Microsoft before, but this one's really, you know, really, really small. I just don't even count on this thing selling any meaningful numbers. So,
and finally, Brian asks, can we get more Russell Holly e-ink selfies?
Nope.
Ouch.
Just the one, huh?
One is all you people get.
That I think we can stick a fork in it. Welcome back, boys and girls. So that is a podcast. I think probably the next few weeks we'll feel it out, see if we want to do five people. That wasn't too bad. I liked it. Alex, are you getting bored over there a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. You guys gotta keep me entertained.
Yeah, you know, maybe we'll rotate people in and out. Maybe I'll take a week off. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
We wouldn't go off the rails at all.
I relish the thought.
Everybody at home's like, yes, Phil, take the week off, please.
It'll be the best podcast ever. Fire trucks and...
Maybe we'll rotate in and out. I don't know. As we are every week, we are brought to you by the Android Central Store, a.k.a. Shop Android, a.k.a. we sell things because, you know, that's what we do for part of it. Well, it's what they do. I'm not actually stuffing stuff in boxes. They have hardworking people who do that down in Florida. I should really go see them, actually. ShopAndroid.com. Call them at 888-468-6158. You can email us. Ooh, we actually had a couple emails this week. Damn, I always forget, don't I?
Take five. Grab them. Do it.
Yeah, let me duck in there. James wants to know about the lollipop delay for the Nexus 7 3G or LTE models. I guess
just LTE model. Look at how long it took. To get 4.4 after 4.3.
Plus throw in the fact that it's lollipop and it's been kind of iffy anyway, right?
And you can't release something that has some crazy bug that will run rampant on carriers' networks. So they have to take extra time on this.
And a lot of people have been asking about just never getting lollipop in the first place. I mean, I guess probably the best thing we can tell you is we'll have links to that post, I think, on our Nexus page. About the different options, using the factory images or using the sideload OTA images. I mean, that's really the best thing you can do, right?
We talk about that. That's not easy for a lot of people.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to tell you, if you didn't ever get Lollipop on a device and everybody else you know with it that has it, go into the forums and just pose your question and give as much information as you can, and I promise you somebody that can help you will jump in there and walk you through it.
Jody asked the same thing about the LTE version. Said, no word from Google at all, but now CyanogenMod has 5.0 out for the LTE Nexus 7 2013. Is that bad Google is behind CyanogenMod? Is Google actually behind CyanogenMod?
Nope. They are. Nightlease doesn't count.
I would think they also got a majority of their code from Google.
Bingo.
For Lollipop to build their own version
just
of
take,
it.
Take the Wi-Fi one and hack the LTE parts into it and release nightly.
I'm just, don't get stressed yet. Don't get stressed yet.
Everybody breathe deep.
Patience is hard. All right, somebody's dog is signaling it's time to go, so we're out of here.
All right.
Jerry, Russell, Alex, Andrew. Jerry, Russell, Alex, Andrew. That's fine. Cool. Got it right.
And me and Phil. The dog say goodbye.
It's like when I'm talking to my kids.
He's unhappy about Lollipop, too.
One of those next to 7:13.
That's it. Thank you all. Thank you, everybody at home. Go follow us on Instagram and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Use Super the hashtag Andrew Central, apparently.
Andrew Central, yeah.
Did that start during the podcast?
Probably because that's all they're seeing right now.
That's great.
I think we just got a title for the podcast this week.
All right.
And everybody out there, Ryan from the forums just volunteered, whether he knows it or not, to get Lollipop on your device.
Yes, he will personally come to your home and do it. All right,
but he'll get you squared away or make sure somebody else can get you squared away.
All right, that's it. We will be back next week. See ya.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Adios.